Hello, I'm Arnold Hamilton, editor of the Oklahoma Observer.
And I'm Marianne Martin, and this is ObserverCast, your weekly deep dive into Oklahoma politics and policy.
Presented by the Mary Lou Lemon Foundation.
To listen to state leaders, Oklahoma flat out rocked the November general election, breaking records for the number of votes cast in a presidential race and for in-person early voting. Remember the old line, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics? Well, that fits the spin from Election Board Secretary Paul Ziriaks and others who want everyone to think all is well with our body politic. Since the current system is working so well for them and the Republican stranglehold on the state house. Alas, cherry-picking stats can't hide the ugly truth. Oklahoma suffered the ignominious distinction of having the nation's lowest age-eligible voter turnout, according to the independent, nonpartisan, no-dog-in-the-hunt University of Florida Election Lab. That Oklahoma scrapes the bottom of the turnout barrel is hardly surprising, given that nearly 30% of age-eligible Sooners haven't even bothered to register to vote, much less cast a ballot. That means a super minority of age-eligible Oklahomans is deciding who serves as governor, state superintendent, and other statewide elected offices, and in the 149 seats in the legislature. Apathy breeds contempt? Well, it certainly appears so. Sooners are so indifferent to or turned off by the process, they aren't voting or running for public office. Indeed, nearly 70% of legislative races this year were decided in even lower turnout primaries and runoffs. One citizens group, Oklahoma United, thinks it's come up with a surefire way to generate more enthusiasm and increase voter participation. By replacing Oklahoma's closed primary system with one in which all voters, regardless of party affiliation, cast judgment on all candidates, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Independents, in a single primary, an open primary. For this week's ObserverCast, giving everybody a say, Oklahoma United CEO and founder Margaret Kobos joins us to discuss the group's initiative petition drive aimed at getting State Question 835 onto the 2026 ballot so voters themselves can decide whether they want to open up the primaries or maintain a lethargic status quo.
Hey, good morning. I'm so glad you could join us this morning on this blustery, cold November day. Like fall has actually arrived, but it's great to meet you. But we always start these off with asking our guests to tell us who they are and what they do.
My name is Margaret Kobos, and I am the CEO and founder of Oklahoma United. And it is we are a nonpartisan voter advocacy organization for the state of Oklahoma.
Tell us a little bit about the work that Oklahomans United have done, because I think a lot of us have, you know, heard the name, especially over the past few years. But tell us a little bit about your work and the scope of your interests.
Mm-hmm. Primarily, our interest is voter engagement and civic engagement in the large sense of what that means. And we believe that fundamentally, if we're going to have responsive policies that solve the problems of all of us every day in our lives, we have to have a good connection, a strong connection between the people and the politicians who are attempting to serve us. So we have been in business for almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. We don't like to invent the wheel. So a lot of people have been doing smart work in this area of voter engagement, voter registration, all of these things for many, many years. What our group has attempted to do is to pin down exactly where the disconnection is between the good efforts, the strong efforts of many, many people and organizations for decades, and then the last in the U.S. voter turnout, which is just an unfortunate fact. So our work, when we started, was to research and identify where is that problem, where does it lie, and what can we do to accelerate or implement a change that would improve that connection between politicians and the people.
So I'm just trying to think of the, you know, the past 4 years, there's a lot has happened, right? You know, and I feel like it's kind of an open secret, really, that voter turnout is so poor in our state. I mean, so poor, you know, when you see like legislative districts, you know, or, you know, how Oklahoma legislative districts that have maybe 5 digits turnout, sometimes less, you know, that decide very important seats. And I'm specifically thinking of Steve Copeland's race a couple years ago, Greg McCourtney's race, you know, some really, really important races with some really mm-hmm. important legislative leaders, just as an example, you know, that have been decided by few votes, but very low turnout. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me some of the things that you guys have really figured out in your work about the root cause or some of the factors that lead to such poor turnout.
I have to say, a lot of people who analyze these issues are in the business of politics. And mm-hmm. have had either a longstanding personal interest or professional interest in it. We come at it from a very, very different angle. We're just normal people that sit on the bleachers. And so when we get together and I'm at a swim meet, which by the way is only the boredom can only be exceeded by watching a Western Trail class in which you do not have anyone you know and love entered, okay? So if you've watched paint dry, then you've been on those bleachers like us, then you've had a lot of conversations with what I would consider to be a great representative group of Oklahomans. This would be Little League or, you know, wherever it is you go. I was having just so many conversations with many, many complete strangers and friends, and we were all thinking the same things. So anecdotally, we felt that a lot of people didn't feel like they matter in politics. And there's a direct translation between that feeling and the results in when you see last in the US voter turnout. So in 2020, you know, we were last in turnout in the US. And in 2021, I started after the January 6th, I started thinking, wow, people are really upset, right? I mean, they're very, very angry. And I've been angry at times. I'm a lifelong Republican. Do I feel like my voice matters? Do I make a difference? I was just kind of perking along doing my job and raising my family like everybody else. So in January 21, it became obvious to me that somebody needed to kind of sit back and think about this. And so that's when we started our research. And the first fact that struck me is that half of Oklahomans registered at that time were Republican and the other half were not. Now, I happen to be one of those Republicans. And so I started thinking about why people might feel like they're not being heard. And I do think that if you were looking at our state, you would be surprised to know a lot of people. I was surprised that only half of us were Republican because I thought we all were. Then the next fact that stood out to me was the fact that when you really think about elections and the fact that they are funded with our tax dollars, like the administration of elections is paid for by all taxpayers. And then you look at the independents who are paying those taxes and yet prohibited from voting. There's nothing a Republican loves more than voting. Like, we love to vote. I went to vote in 2020 and there was a bald eagle circling over the polling place. And it was like a moment of a moment of wow, right? And we were all just staring up in the sky, you know, enjoying our moment. I would love to for independents to have that moment. And I think that we all deserve to have that patriotic feeling of having a choice and having freedom and being able to go vote. So, and not only that, by the way, we're paying for them. We should not be prohibited from voting in elections that we fund. So it's kind of the genesis of it. And then when you get to our conclusion after, 3 years of research, and we did a mobile billboard in 2022. It went to Lawton, it went all over Oklahoma, drove around saying, "Hey, if you feel like you don't matter, we want to hear from you." And it had a QR code on it that directed people to our website. We've been collecting anecdotal stories about people who live all over the state of Oklahoma and feel like they don't matter. That's why they're not voting. Young people don't want to be part of the chaos and the acrimony that is pervading our political discussions these days. They are registering independent. Military people, the majority of them register independent. They're on Team America. These are patriotic people. A lot of them are our own children and grandchildren. And we just need to allow them to be who they want to be. And when we agree, we will vote and we will all agree. And that is how I think we need to move forward as a state.
So you obviously have always been a voter. Is this sort of your first rodeo when it comes to actually organizing something like this or being in the trenches, so to speak, politically?
Well, yeah, my background is in large projects, civic, public-private partnerships, legal. I practiced law. I worked in banking. That's my background. I am accustomed to initiating and executing large projects. However, I am not a political person with that kind of experience, which is why I have found political experts, because it's obvious that I need to have a broad team with a lot of depth of experience. So we have several on our team, including, you probably saw in the, in the some of our remarks and things, Pat McFerrin is on our team. He is happens to be a Republican. We also have strong Democratic Party people. I am of the opinion, even though I'm a Republican, I don't care where the best ideas come from. I want the best ideas, and I want the best for Oklahoma as a whole. So we're agnostic in terms of someone's background, but we seek and have allied ourselves and put people on our team who have the depth of experience to make this, to give me great advice, and we're moving forward together, I think, in a really tremendous way.
So, how did you settle on this as the best idea? There are lots of ideas, of course, and we all know change scares people in many ways. I think there are a lot of people who are open to new ideas, but fear-mongering, and we're already seeing it. Those who want to maintain the status quo are already stirring. So, how did you settle on this one as opposed to say, I read this morning that the Libertarian Party chair said, I really like what Arkansas and Texas does better, which allows people to decide in each election which one they're going to vote in, as opposed to doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, so I'm a data follower. I'm not gonna We would never be doing this if we didn't have the data and the polling to support it. And so that is one of the first things we did, and we've done that several times over the last couple of years, reinforcing the preference of Oklahomans. First of all, the question is, really, what's wrong? Why are people not voting? Why does it matter if people vote or not, right? Then if it does matter, and if we do want people to vote, how do we think that voting should look? And so our polling has shown us that the overwhelming majority of Oklahomans, including heavy polling of Republicans, they all prefer to have a fully open system. They do not, the semi-open, which is what Texas and Arkansas have, semi-open primaries are unpopular among Republicans in Oklahoma. They do not want it. They fully understand and like the idea of everybody being treated the same. They like the idea of independents having the right to vote in elections that they are funding. They do not want a semi-open primary. It was the last of all the different types of reforms that we put in front of them. Semi-open primary was the worst result in our polling. It shocked me, actually, because originally I thought, well, maybe we'll just do this. It seems least disruptive. They don't want it. So we have our policy and our proposal reflects exactly what the polling shows us. This is strongly supported by a majority of Oklahomans, including Republicans. So they don't want anyone monkeying around in what they would consider to be their primaries. And the answer to that is not to have their primaries. They would rather not have a separate Republican primary. They would rather have a unified ballot. They would rather have a single open primary and let everybody compete and may the best idea and the best person win.
So let me clarify then exactly what this means by an open primary. Does that mean then you go in and you vote for a Democrat if you're a Democrat, or is it just everyone's listed all together? All the candidates for, I don't know, HD 45 are listed, parties are next to them, but you vote for whoever you want to.
That is exactly right. So we like to describe it in very simple terms because we want people to, so important that they understand what it would feel like in this system, this new system. And what I would say is that it's going to feel like exactly what they do when they vote for mayor or they vote for their city council. It's going to be exactly the same. Every municipality in Oklahoma uses an open primary system, an open election system in which all voters vote on the same ballot. There's one ballot. It lists all candidates. Most of those municipal elections do not have a partisan affiliation next to the name. Our polling shows that Oklahomans kind of want to see that. So by a very slight, slight margin, there's a small preference for retaining that party affiliation next to the name. So we're fine with it. Again, I don't really care. I just want people to vote. I want them to be able to vote in the elections they're paying for. So our polling shows everybody seems to want a single unified primary ballot. When you go to vote, you will walk up to the table, you will hand them their ID, your ID, and you will no longer be asked to identify yourself in a party. A lot of people actually really like the idea of that. We want to register to vote as Americans, as Oklahomans. And maybe we don't even really want to tell someone how we're registered. Maybe we think that it's not someone else's business. And you're out there in public in this line, and maybe you just don't want to say. So this is a really
I mean, having to identify what party you're in, especially in a state like Oklahoma, really kind of goes against, the privacy of the ballot box, right? I mean, I live in a Democratic precinct in a Democratic, district, and I'm a proud Democrat. But even when I get like cordoned off into, go, if you're a Republican here, you're a Democrat here, I was like, well, you know who I'm voting for. And so, I mean, that privacy alone is already blown to bits because there aren't that many choices,
That's
right?
right. That's right. I don't want to get into, we just have so many anecdotal stories. There was a lady I talked to. I'm the worst phone banker, by the way, on the planet. Because when I get on the phone with somebody, I really actually want to talk to them.
Yeah,
And
I probably, yeah, me too.
yeah. So there was a lady in Tahlequah who is disabled. And she is a Democrat. And I mean, I didn't know. I was just calling to, see, hey, you remember to vote, blah, blah, blah. And totally nonpartisan because my group is nonpartisan. We just want everyone to contribute and feel like they are part of the discussion. And so I was on the phone with her and she said she has to have a neighbor take her for early voting. She cannot go on that day. She has to make a separate appointment because she's disabled. And she said she feels intimidated because there aren't that many Democrats. She happens to be one. And they all know at the clerk's office or whatever, they all know how she's registered. And she feels, I don't know, uncomfortable. We need to stop this. We just need to go vote. We all just need to be able to go vote. Independents need to be able to vote. We have nearly 500,000 of them. We need more voters. We're sidelining these people. So that's our first thing, really, for Oklahoma United is, and that was really our original quest is how are we going to incorporate independents, which are overwhelmingly like young people. When I hear from candidates who are knocking on doors, they say that it's hard to find anyone under 40 who is not independent. That's where they live, you know. And so if you're a candidate or you're an elected official and you're trying to represent your whole electorate, your whole constituency, you need to be able to touch those people and hear what they think. And they have great ideas. These are really smart, talented people who are thoughtful and want to contribute. They bothered to register to vote. They just, you know, they're not, there's no feedback. So again, you know, we wanted to solve this problem. Our polling suggests that this open primary system is what the people of Oklahoma want. And it makes sense. It's going to allow everybody to vote in the elections they fund. And we're ready to move forward with that.
Do you see this as a silver bullet, or is this a first step in the process of trying to get some people re-engaged and some people engaged for the first time? The fact that we have nearly 30% of age-eligible Oklahomans who aren't even registered to vote is breathtaking to me.
I just want to piggyback on that question because, you know, this seems like one piece of a lot of other structural issues. Like, for instance, you know, the disabled voter who has to go out of their way. You know, the system is not conducive to voters like that. You know, there's so many other structural issues that really keep people from the ballot box. Our restricted voting hours, our restricted, you know, early voting procedures. So yeah, I'm interested, you know, kind of your thoughts on this as well.
So obviously, we are concerned primarily at this point with low voter turnout. We know that people are not voting because they think their voices don't matter, or they are prevented from voting because they literally have no choice on a ballot, right? So especially in our primaries, they're uncontested races, so many of them. If you're an independent or you know, a minority party of any type, why bother showing up? We also know that statistically, you're less likely to vote in a general election when you don't have a dog in the hunt. So if you're not voting in a primary, you're not engaged throughout the process. You feel you don't matter. You're not getting mail. You're not getting phone calls. You're not getting a door knock.
So
So,
there's all
you
the
know,
independents. There's all the independents. Yep.
So what we want to solve first is eliminating this barrier. I can't guarantee, no one can guarantee what the result will be from this, but we know that it is the right thing to do to let everybody vote in the elections they are funding. So let's start with that. I can tell you that anecdotally, when we register people to vote or we talk to the League of Women Voters or, you know, whoever's doing registration, and when I do it myself at the Tulsa State Fair, which we've done a couple of times, a lot of people are overwhelmed. Especially young people with the idea of voting. There will be work that we have to do. Once we allow everybody to vote, then we have to help them understand how to vote. That's 100% education. That's something that we do have a lot of people, you know, organizations in Oklahoma and teachers and systems in place to help people understand and not be intimidated by the process of voting. So that's going to be maybe the next thing, you know. But the first thing is, if you can't vote, let's just eliminate that obstacle right now. This is a pretty easy thing. It's low hanging fruit. We've got 500,000 independents. We're last in voter turnout. Why don't we just let them vote? One of our spokespeople has often said that it's simple math. If you think you want more voters voting, we should let more voters vote. And so I just think it's going to start a healthier system.
But the fact is that there are forces that don't want more folks to vote. They like the system the way it is. And as I've written and I know we've discussed before, when Democrats were in charge in the 20th century, they were presented with options to sort of help create a healthier system, but they were so dominant then they saw no reason to change the game, even though if you looked anybody with half a brain, I think, could determine that which direction Oklahoma was heading at that time. Now you have entrenched Republican control, and there's Republican. From my point of view, Republicans have worked legislatively to minimize the number of people who are turning out, make it more difficult to vote, not as easy to register to vote. And I throw in redistricting in this whole process because when you gerrymander the districts the way that they're gerrymandered, you reduce the competition even more. So that reduces the likelihood that people are going to want to turn out and vote.
Yes, you're
So
right.
how do those are pretty powerful entrenched forces right now who are going to
You
oppose
say
this,
that, but
right?
here's something I would say that is more entrenched. Oklahoma, as you know well, was born in a populist age. We are the William Jennings Bryan. We are the Senator Robert Owen. All of us west of the Mississippi kind of percolated at this point when distrust of central government was pervasive. That is why we have citizen petition rights. That's why we believe in direct democracy. That is why we have primaries, quite honestly. They were formed so that parties and party officials would not control the process. But we have, largely kind of walked away from the primaries and citizen involvement in them. They were designed, we had them so that we could have citizen involvement and decisions would not be made in a smoke-filled room. I think that that ethos of rolling up our sleeves and doing things for ourselves is ingrained in Oklahomans around our state. The ones who are here, if you are here in Oklahoma, if you live here today, no matter when your family came here, you came here because of opportunity. And we all know that no one is going to swoop in and save us here in this state. We knew it in the 30s and we know it now. So that is why citizens are so important. I think that's, our desire for independence and freedom of thought and freedom to make our own decisions and to have our own choices and make up our own minds. I think that's more endemic in Oklahomans than some kind of artificial construct.
So, I mean that's an interesting point because I'm wondering, maybe it's because we're so independent that that's why we don't vote. But I also just think too, we've had a number of citizen petitions, ballot initiatives that have passed overwhelmingly, passed closely, but otherwise, no matter what, they've passed, and then the legislature dithers around. Actually enforcing and implementing these changes. And so, I'm just curious, like what confidence do you think we should have, that this will actually take shape, how quickly it will take shape. I'm not, it's not that I am not convinced that this is a good thing, right? That this would be a worthwhile thing for the state to implement. But I also think, it sidesteps a lot of the willingness and eagerness with which a lot of the members of the Republican legislature, the overwhelming Republican legislature, has no problem implementing voter disenfranchisement steps. We saw it with COVID. Okay. I mean, this is a perfect example. I remember 2020, literally tweeting at John Eccles and other members of leadership in the House. For all the people that were terrified about having to show up in person, to vote in the primaries that summer. And And they're like, yes, we're aware of this. And then what did they do? They actually made it harder. You know, that's when they put like the notary requirements and everything. They actually didn't make it easier for people. You still had to go face to face. You couldn't mail things in easier. You know, had all these verifications, you know, blind ballots, blah, blah, blah. And so, honestly, I feel like that is a part of the disenchantment that a lot of younger voters have. It's not necessarily what they have to do to go vote. It's all the reasons why they shouldn't vote. And that has played out time and time again, with the existing structures, Republican or Democrat, right? Like this is not a partisan statement at all. And I'm not just attacking Republicans, you know, because so I'm just curious. Maybe this is just more of a statement than anything, but you know, I want to believe that this would be a tremendous first step towards bringing more people to, you know, to the system, right? Really engaging. So we have candidates, we have, you know, governors, senators, legislators who truly represent what we're doing and bring good ideas to the table. I just, oh, like, you know,
So
like.
I'm just gonna I'm trying to get to kind of where your head is on this. So when I first started working on this project, one of the people I sought advice from was Mayor David Holt in Oklahoma City, a Republican, a former state senator. He ran and won in a partisan system, and then he ran and won in a nonpartisan system. He said, you're going to need to, you know, you should go through all the steps, jump through all the hoops. But he said, ultimately, this reform would, in his opinion, would require a citizen petition. And as you pointed out, that's not, you know, I'm familiar with this citizen petitions,
One
but
way to do things successfully in the state.
not exactly my expertise, you know, primary expertise. So, of course, there was a lot of research, you know, to figure out how to do this. And oh, by the way, we freely employ interns. So anybody who has a student, or if you're a young person, you want to be a fellow with us, or you want to be a student intern, we love you and we want you. So we have very meaningful projects. And one of the projects was cataloging every citizen petition in the history of the state of Oklahoma on a spreadsheet with the outcomes and the subject of it and the voting population at the time and the percentage of success, you know, failure, success. Anyway, so lots of things we have learned. I think that you are correct in that this open primary petition, State Question 835, will be a transformational initiative, and it will allow everyone to vote in every contested race. Right now, we have parties unable to field candidates in, despite their best efforts, in races around our state. Voters are being deprived of any voice and choice in both very Democrat and very Republican districts. We have both in Oklahoma. At the 2022 Tulsa State Fair, a man walked up to me from a small town in southeastern Oklahoma and he said, I'm a Republican and I want open primaries because where I live, I don't have any Republicans to vote for in primaries. Now, I live in Tulsa, so that's hard to imagine, but that's the case where he lives. And that's, you know, we have to recognize that the state of Oklahoma is different everywhere. And there are Democrats and Republicans and libertarians. In fact, you were talking about libertarians. I would say that these smaller parties like the Libertarian Party would actually be a huge beneficiary of an open primary system because no longer will there be any what I would call, you know, a penalty for not registering in a major party. People who want to be a libertarian under an open primary system will be allowed to register libertarian and vote in every election. That's going to give the Libertarian Party a huge opportunity to recruit new members. So, you know, I'm not anti-Republican either. I think it's going to help Republicans define their message and have a cohesive platform and really touch a lot of new voters that they've never really had in their arsenal. So I just think that there's no downside really for this. I do think it is a first step. It is, we have to do it and then let it sit for a while. You know, nothing happens. I'm conservative, right? I don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I think that there's a strong need for parties which help us. They give voters guidance, they do endorsements, they analyze issues, they promote candidates that they like, and they have tremendous get out the vote abilities. Those are all great, and we need those too. But we shouldn't be sidelining 500,000 people.
You know, one of the things that maybe I've just missed it, and I feel like I follow these things pretty closely, but is this a constitutional amendment, a proposed constitutional amendment, as opposed to statutory?
Yes,
Yes,
it is
okay.
constitutional. We got some early feedback. It's been very consistent that, you know, our distrust of government is such that nobody wants a statutory amendment. And I just personally feel I'm a lawyer, you know, I'm like the right to vote is the right to vote.
Well,
And, you know, it should be in our Constitution. And, you know, that's the best way to approach this very, very fundamental question of who can vote.
I think we've seen, you know, what Arnold, the past, since we've been doing this since 2020, you know, we've seen a number of these ballot initiatives that have gone up, and the biggest pushback as well is going to be in the Constitution, you know, and so I'm curious, you know, can you talk to why it's important that this goes in the Constitution? Like you just said, you know, it's the right to vote, but you know, tell us more about that. Like, why is it important that it's in the state constitution that it's an open primary so people can vote? I don't think we can't slide, you know, this is an important piece of it, I think, right?
So our Oklahoma constitutional is a little bit of a hot mess, and it
That's huge. Yeah. You
has a lot of stuff in there that even the most learned scholar probably doesn't understand. In fact, I'm told that in the legislature, there are so few attorneys in the state legislature that during session, there are lines out their doors of other legislators trying to get into their offices to find out what the Constitution says and what it means.
Never mind, there's a whole legal staff in the legislature, but whatever.
So I mean, it's a struggle. You know, but the right to vote in the US Constitution and the state constitution should not be, in my opinion, dependent on your value system. Your value system is your personal guideline that you deploy when you go in and make your choices on that ballot. The right to vote is the right to vote. There is no requirement that, nor should there be, that you join a political party in order to exercise it. And so that's why it's important to do it. Yes, the steps to do a constitutional amendment with a citizen petition, it's a little bit of a higher hurdle. I think the statutory citizen petition would require to get on a ballot would be around 90,000 signatures, and this is 173,000 minimum. That means we have to get, we're going to aim for over 200,000, maybe 300,000 signatures. The requirements to go through the process for a citizen petition are new and more stringent than ever. We are committed to doing that. We have the team in place to do it. And once we get the green light, we will have 90 days to get all those signatures. And we already have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people coming to us saying, "Where do I sign? Where do I sign?" So that's our job right now, is to get a hold of these people and communicate and make sure everybody knows when and where they're going to be able to sign this thing. So our constitutional amendment will not be subject to the whims of a legislature, and it will be very, very clear and very, very simple. And we're going to move forward to whatever's next after that.
Yeah, I think we all as a state learned the hard way on criminal justice reform. What happens if you circulate an initiative petition demanding criminal justice reform in a statutory sense, and the legislature still, how many years later now, 6 years or more later, still hasn't fully implemented what the voters wanted on that. So to me, that's a, that's a huge deal. And you're right, it is a, it is a, it's a, it's a, it's a bigger lift. So when, in terms of getting the signatures, but it's worth it in the end. So you're looking at really 2026 before you would get it on a ballot, probably. Unfortunately, you have a governor who's opposed to it, who, will decide which election date it appears on. So,
I'm trying not
is
to
that
have a very strong reaction to that fact here. I just want you to know I'm sitting here like really biting my tongue that he would have such a strong, like he would be opposed to it. So.
You know what? I'm kind of okay with it. I'm okay with it because I fundamentally believe that everybody deserves their own opinion. And I believe that Republicans should have their own opinions. If you are employed by the Republican Party, which is currently in basically in charge of so many positions right now, of course you're going to oppose this. You may not even really believe it in your heart. But you're going to say that you oppose it. You may have grandkids and kids who are registered Republican, and I know they exist because they've come up to me and admitted it. You're still going to toe that line. But you know what? I think that's okay. We all deserve to be heard. Republicans have a voice too. It's okay for us to have differences of opinions here. All we want to do is give expression in a formalized way to all of our opinions. And we just think there's just going to be so much potential with young people. And if I, you know, if I just live every day so that I will not disappoint my interns. You know, they are amazing, young, determined, patriotic people. And we as parents and grandparents and teachers and you know adults in their lives, our job in life is to give them the tools that they're going to need to create their own lives in the future. Obviously, we know in the last 30 years, the explosion of you know technology, we live in a different world today than we did 30 years ago. We have to give those young people the tools they're going to need for the next explosion. And we can't say what that's going to be. Something will happen though. And I just firmly believe that that's, you know, we have some of our supporters at our events will go up to an intern and say, "Oh, you are the future and you're going to have to fix all this." And I just dive in and I say, no. We cannot put this on them. We created a mess. And we adults need to take our responsibility here too. And that means giving them the tool, giving them the power to vote and to run for office and have a viable path and to be in charge of their own lives when it is time.
So do you think this is a proposal that really transcends whatever election? It doesn't really matter whether it's a primary vote or a special election or a general
Or
election in
February
2020.
vote, or you mean when this comes up for before the
Yeah,
people?
that it doesn't really matter, that it's this is it transcends all the normal sorts of things because it addresses an issue that goes to the heart of Democratic participation.
It goes to the heart of every single problem you see in the newspaper today. We are never going to get to the real solutions that matter. We're never going to tackle the big problems in Oklahoma without it because it's like we have one arm tied behind our backs right now, and we have for decades. We need to have both hands working on our problems. And so, yes, it is fundamental. Do we want to be on a general election in 26? Absolutely. We want the most turnout we can get. I love the November 26 election date because that is an election when we're going to all be talking about who's going to be our governor, who's going to be our secretary of, education. All those major positions are going to be on that ballot. And the conversation is going to be about Oklahoma, not about national stuff. It's going to be focused on what's going on with us. And so I love the idea of being part of that conversation. I hope that's where we land. We don't control it. I think that all things kind of point that direction because of the litigation, the objection periods, which are now they went from 10 to 90 days for a citizen petition. So, we've gone backwards. We've reverse engineered the process and filed when we did so that we have our best chance of being on that election. I think that's where it makes sense to be.
Does it matter whether it's on with anything else, for example, a minimum wage petition? Does that affect
I'm
it?
not involved in anything else. I don't, I just have nothing to do. I have nothing to do with a party. I have nothing to do with any other issue. We are nonpartisan. We're bottom up. We're not promoting anything that was
And
handed to us.
maybe I didn't ask the question very sharp, succinctly, but it will not happen. The vote on this, if it gets to a vote, will not happen in a vacuum. There will be other factors, other races on the other things on the ballot. And I just wondered if something along that line, you foresee that it would really have any impact at all on
I mean,
voter focus
I
on
think
turnout.
that's a definitely a strategic consideration. Thank God I have smart people who are helping with all those answers and whatever our position or whatever our role is in producing the turnout that we need is what we're going to do. Like I said, we can't control it. Does it affect us? Maybe. I don't know. And but I think that minimum wage is already set for an election date.
I don't know. The governor's pushed it into 26, but did he actually set the date? I've slept since then, so I
Yeah,
can't.
I think there might be either a special or the primary or something. I don't know what it is, but I don't know what they're looking at, but we're gonna go when we go. And we're gonna engage. Like I said, when we had our rally on the 19th, we are working every single minute of every day to educate, to touch as many Oklahomans around the state as possible. We're not resting, we're not laying back. We're working hard because we know this is a big issue and it's a big idea. And you mentioned, change is hard. I would say this isn't really a change since we're already doing this system in every city and town in Oklahoma. So we have a little bit of an advantage because people are familiar with what we're proposing. And we voted this way in high school too. So everybody knows how to do this. So we don't have that problem. But yeah, we're going to move the cereal bowls in the cabinet, right? Like they're going to be in a different place. But I think that with our education and the partners we have, like the Oklahoma Academy, reaching out in town halls and panels, and we're going to do our very best and appeal to the common sense of the people of Oklahoma.
So of course the fear mongering has already begun, and I just have to ask, as a lifelong Republican, if you were surprised to discover that you're a Kamala Harris supporter, because you like this idea.
I can't speak to, what's going on. I'm not an active party, participant really, other than I would say that I bawled my eyes out when I went to the Ronald Reagan Library. But other than that, that's kind of my jam. I believe in studying history and applying what we learn. And I believe in the voice of all Oklahomans, and I just think that it is a Republican ideal to have a free market where all of the candidates compete for all the voters, all of the voices are heard, and you get the best result possible. I
And
also think,
that's small R Republican, right?
yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the, I don't even know if that's in a platform or anything like that. But I just think that in my mind, that's what it means to be a Republican. You don't want wasted money. You don't want taxation without representation, and you want freedom, and you want individual liberty, and you kind of want everybody to mind their own business a little bit. And our solution really enables all of that.
Do you think people, obviously, if you look at the statement from the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs, it should come as no surprise that it would come from them. But that you're basically trying to engineer a California style election. Oh, you know, and oh, and they're going to spend time, they say, rolling out what this means in terms of public policy. You know, of course, ignoring the fact that, you know, the California legislature is Democratic dominated. Here it's Republican dominated. So whatever gets rolled out here is going to be, you know, is going to be controlled by Republicans. But, you know, there are a lot of low information voters out there for whom this, yeah, that could be kind of a scary thing that, oh, the Californization of Oklahoma.
Well, that seems to be a little bit of a, I don't know, kind of a signal of some kind. When I first did research, I mean, California, if you wanted to talk about them, they have over 10 years with this system. They also produced Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes. Okay. They are a diverse state. I can't help who they are. Okay. They are who they are. And I love that they get to be who they want to be. I think we can do that too. Our solution is not going to change the character of the people of Oklahoma. We're going to be who we are. I just think we all share the same values. And when I'm in the feed store, as I have been many, many times, that's not what I don't hear this fear of others in the feed store. I don't hear that on the bleachers. I just hear concerns about what we're doing in Oklahoma for ourselves. And I know that if we don't incentivize our lawmakers to reach out to all voters, we're just going to keep going around in circles here. And I'm tired of the system as it is. Most people are exhausted. That is one another reason why people tune out politics in Oklahoma. That is why I never would have ventured into this, because I want a system in which all I have to do is do a little tiny bit of reading and research. I show up with my practice ballot, that I filled out at home. I go on my, 1 or 2 days a year, and I choose somebody who actually has stood up and they want the responsibility of governing for me. And I just want to empower them to do it. If you have a system when 20% of your voters aren't able to do that, then you don't have a consensus. You don't have a consensus when, 70% of our races in the state are uncontested in a general election. You don't have elected officials who can, with authority, speak for all of us. You don't have a two-way street in terms of communication. That's what voting does. And so, I could point to Nebraska, which has a nonpartisan election system that is more similar. I think Nebraska is more similar to us than some other state. So I just, this is not a foreign idea or solution. This is something that is really homegrown and, came out of my kitchen table, I guess. But it does it make sense? Yes. We're only one of 12 states with a closed primary system. We might want to consider joining the rest of the states who have higher voter turnout and higher voter satisfaction in their government. That's what we're going to try to produce here with an open primary.
We don't want to take up too much of your time today, but I'm so grateful, you know, that you could join us and talk about this very, very important issue. You know, it's something that we have discussed many times on here, just the stunning lack of turnout in really important races, really decisive races around the state. So thank you so much. Arnold, do you have anything else to add? Or
no, I think great conversation. But I will say, Margaret, we want to have you back as this evolves, because this is an ongoing conversation, I think, that's important to Oklahoma. So I hope you'll be, I want to get you on the record now saying you'll do it for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I wake up in the morning and I, one person asks me one thing and I get so revved up about this, because to me, it's really the answer to a lot of other answers. If you want better public schools, then you need this. If you want better healthcare for moms, I just read this morning that we have one of the highest maternal, percentages in the country, maternal mortality. That's not okay. Like, we need to fix these things. So the only way to fix it is to put the tools in the hands of the voters and the elected officials. If there's only one thing I want to leave you with, it's that I think there's been a little bit of a miscommunication with some of the people interpreting our proposal. They keep saying, we don't want people meddling in a Republican primary. Okay, I've been seeing that a lot. I think they're misunderstanding the proposal. Newsflash, there won't be a separate Republican primary. So nobody will be meddling in anything. We will all just vote. And we didn't come up with that. Again, that policy comes from the polling of Republicans who say that that's the system they prefer. They don't want a separate Republican primary anymore. They want everybody to be able to vote and be treated the same and have a voice, and then we all just kind of move on. So I appreciate the chance to be able to explain that.
Thank you. I mean, that's a really good point. So thank you so much. Let's talk about this again. Hopefully on the successful side of it, right? So
we're moving fast, and it's a lot of fun right now, and we want everybody on board.
So thank you so much. Have a great day. Stay warm, and we'll check in with you later.
You bet. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ObserverCast. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends about us and share our episodes far and wide on social media. If you're interested in sponsoring ObserverCast, please give Arnold Hamilton a call at 405-478-8700 or drop him an email at ahamilton@okobserver.org. You can also support ObserverCast with a tax-deductible donation to the Oklahoma Observer Democracy Foundation, whose mission is to help create a better, more informed Oklahoma. And to help keep us on the air, visit okobserver.org and click on the Donate button on the upper right side of the homepage. We also urge you to subscribe to the Oklahoma Observer, now in its 55th year of comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. We have a special digital subscription rate for ObserverCast listeners, only $1.99 a month for the first year. That's 50% off the usual rate for monthly digital subscribers. Just use the coupon code ObserverCast when checking out to get the discount rate. And finally, we want to thank Jared Deck for the music you're listening to in the background here. He's not just a resident of Norman anymore. He is now the Oklahoma State Representative for House District 44. Congratulations, Representative Deck. We're so proud of you. But you can still download his albums at iTunes and learn more, including dates for any upcoming performances, at jareddeckmusic.com.